Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We're always right and never left. Before we begin our exciting show this evening, I want to send prayers out to all of those who lost loved ones to COVID-19. I also want to send a special prayer out for all of the first responders and all of the frontline workers that try to provide us with a normal life every day, whether it be the gal or guy pumping our gas, filling our grocery bags at the pharmacy, or even handing out food for the homeless. These people are on the front line every day jeopardizing their lives and their families' lives to try to help others that are in need. And my heart and prayers go out to them every day. And I want to say personally, thank you for your service and commitment to humanity. Tonight, I am proud and humbled to bring in the studio a gentleman as a veteran who is running for Congress in California. He's an exciting and dynamic individual. He has a lot to talk about, and one of his quotes is, if you want a solution, I'm only a phone call away. Let me welcome my dear friend into the studio, James P. Bradley. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you so much, Chauncey, for inviting me to your program. And hello to all those great patriots out there fighting to take back our great country.
Jim, first of all, thank you so much as well for your service to our country and your commitment to want to stand up again to protect our Constitution, our freedoms, our liberties, and protect the values that we hold dear to us by wanting to run for Congress, again, representing the American people. Can you please start off by talking a little bit about your background? It's extremely dynamic. And tell the people about who you are and how we got to the point that you are now a candidate for the U.S. Congress.
Well, thank you, Chauncey. Thank you, everyone, once again. My background, I'm originally from the East Coast. I'm from Rhode Island, one of the bluest states in all the states. And I've always been kind of in the center, but more conservative. And being a third-generation veteran, my grandfather served in World War I, my father World War II, and I served under Ronald Reagan during the Cold War. So what I view now more than ever, a country needs me or someone like me. I'm a former search and rescue law enforcement Coast Guard vet, and I'm a take-charge kind of guy. So I love our country. I love what it stands for, and I'm here to protect and uphold the Constitution. That's what everyone in elected office should be doing. And I really do enjoy problem solving, working with the others to accomplish big goals. So in California, I have more of a progressive, and I hate to use progressive because they hijack that term. I would say more innovative ideology. And unfortunately, well, the progressives have moved this innovation to a leftist regime. So what I find is the American citizens are being neglected. And benefits and money and sanctuary state and all the illegal immigrants, the sanctuary state must end today. So the core to our campaign is based on principles, values, positivity, and innovative solutions. Ted Lieu, my opponent, he's basically Nancy Pelosi's puppet. He's animated by the California leaders to keep us leaving us in fear. So I'm trying to keep, and they're also trying to keep us shut down and control us by sending us checks and living, honestly, in a hole. So just look at Nancy Pelosi and Ted districts, for example. They are both in chaos and decay. But America and CA, it's not about fear and scarcity anymore. We've always been about transformation and innovation. Just because Lou is middle-aged doesn't mean we need to live in the Middle Ages. So I'm going to stop the perpetuation of fear, scarcity, and demagoguery and move California into the mindset of transformation, innovation, and positivity.
Absolutely, and that's an awesome introduction. Absolutely, I could not agree with you more. on your position, philosophy, and belief on how we should move our country forward. Jim, help me, because I'm aware who Lou is. I'm not aware specifically of his district. You mentioned some things. Can you identify some things that are exactly within your district before we go live on the program to the national landscape, issues that directly affect that district? I don't know if you have the fentanyl crisis there, homeless veterans. I'm not sure about your district. So explain to us the identification of what issues you've identified within your district that you want to have a hands-on with changing.
Thank you. Excellent question, by the way. The district is actually the wealthiest district of all districts in the United States. The median income is about $105,000, but yet we have recent graduates from student universities living in their homes with their parents' homes, and they're living paycheck to paycheck. So the key issues that we're facing here is, number one, the homeless situation. We have roughly about 60,000 citizens on the street today. 60,000. To me, that's despicable. And but yet, you know, you could actually fill the Dodger Stadium with all those homeless right now. And it's a very, very large stadium. Can you imagine that? So really, this is not, and the people keep saying it's not a Democrat, it's a Republican. No, it's not. It's none of that. It's not even an independent issue. This is a humanitarian issue that we're facing.
Amen.
It's been ignored by Ted Lieu. And when you ask him the question, what are you doing about homelessness, he avoids the question. He doesn't have answers. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to fix that. And more importantly, you know, I spent right before the primary, about 10 months on the street to find out what the issues are. This is an industry, a homeless industry, that these there's many layers to it. And you see, there's a lot of special interest groups in there getting paycheck after paycheck, six-figure income, not in homelessness, but to continue this homeless crisis in L.A. County. So that's one of the biggest issues we face. And it's across the board, all the way from Malibu or Gore's Hills, all the way down to Rancho's Palos Verdes. And that's what they call the Silicon Beach, which is a kind of a reflection of Silicon Valley, high income earners. And we're literally walking through the streets in needles and feces. And we have some of the mayors within the cities. We have about 23 cities, I believe, in our district that are basically perpetuating this. We have a mayor in L.A. City, Mayor Garcetti, perpetuating it. They did a bill, it's called HHH, that raised $1.2 billion to deal with the homeless crisis. And guess what? The housing they built, the median cost of the housing is roughly about $400,000 upward of $700,000. Can you imagine that kind of money, what you could buy a small home for that? So we have some issues we're facing, and I mean, honestly, I'll dig in a little deeper so everyone can understand. The Los Angeles Economic Development Program and union partnerships can provide, as a solution, trade school-like training for Americans when we get them off the streets. Good housing, go through detox programs. We have solutions today to end the homeless crisis. We are the fifth largest economy in the world, California. We have all the technology. We have the resources available, but all that money's been squandered away, lining the pockets of the electorate, and that has to come to end, and it will come to end with me in office.
You know, Jim, you bring up some very poignant points, and, you know, I just realized something by listening to you talk about your district. If homeless people became registered voters, I wonder how fast the politicians would change then.
Actually, and, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. You raise my level of consciousness by listening to you, and I never put it in that perspective. And I said, you know, there could be another way we could battle homelessness by registering them all to vote. Because, you know, listen, you know, I've been homeless before. okay? And by the grace of God, okay, I am blessed. I am out of that situation. Homelessness encompasses mental health issues, substance abuse, alcoholism. I understand it is a complex issue. But as you alluded to, it is not an issue that cannot be solved. We just have to make it our priority. And what is the sad part for me is when you give rights to illegal aliens, to undocumented workers, you are undermining the intent and fabric of what this country was founded on when you allow people to live on the streets, whether they're veterans, homeless, whatever. I find it unconscionable, okay? And, you know, when it comes to these individuals, no one across the country is doing anything about it on a large scale.
No.
And we really need, and I hope that when you get to Congress, that with the homeless issue, you would attach alcoholism, substance abuse, mental health, because we need facilities to put these people in, because it's clearly a mental health issue.
It is.
And
yeah. You'll find... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, what you'll find is there's a lot of the homeless on the streets that have been there for many years, and it doesn't start off like they're drug addicts being evicted from home. These are working,
exactly.
hardworking citizens that
exactly.
get evicted. And there's a whole life cycle to the homeless problem here in California. Eviction, now we can stop the eviction by putting the funds in place. It has to come from the federal, because I'll be coming in from the federal level. That will provide assistance for those that are looking at imminent eviction. So that's the first stage. That's how we cut off the eviction. Once they're evicted, they go into if they have enough money, they buy themselves a camper, and they park along the PCH route, which is the most beautiful, picturesque part of California, the ocean, and they line their campers along PCH. That's one. The other ones, they actually live in their cars, and they have certain areas, parking structures, that they can actually live, park their vehicle there, homeless life cycle. They initially are in shock. They start just trying to work and make some money to pay for
yes.
food. So they're thriving, and they're trying to find their way back into good housing, but unfortunately they're prohibited by doing that because the system's broken. So
yes.
the longer they are in that house, they sell, excuse me, the house, but the car or the van, they sell that off, and now they're truly homeless, going from shelter to shelter to shelter. So then they're so depressed, so the psychological issues that are now ensued, they're looking for any form of relief. They lose their job, they lose their family members, they're
mm-hmm.
if they have
yes.
children. So
mm-hmm.
that life cycle needs to be broken. We need to find ways on every level of that life cycle to interject a good program that is citizen-based. We've got to get government out of this. We'll provide some federal funding, but it has to be identified for those citizen programs that works. And there's a ton of them out there, and God bless them. They're working so hard. They've been fighting this fight for years now. And that's where I wanted to spend some attention, identifying those that are viable, getting that money in their hands so we can end this homeless crisis once and for all. This is tragic, and it's inhumane. And every politician that, you know, brushes it over, they're complicit in a crime against the citizens that we hold near and dear, our brothers and sisters and fathers, sisters and friends. We have to put an end to this.
Amen. For those that are tuning in, this is Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sean T. Brown. We're always right, never left. We are proud to have a veteran, military officer, and now U.S. congressional candidate, James P. Bradley, in the studio, running against Ted Lieu in the 33rd District of California. Jim, while we're talking and I'm thinking, there is one thing that the mayors and the politicians can do without money. They can clean up the feces. They can hose down the streets and hose down the sidewalks to at least try to If you're going to allow them to live there, then help them keep it clean. You already have in place public works employees, okay? But just to abandon it is definitely definitely very heartfelt and very, very sad that they're doing absolutely nothing. Not even, like I said, helping to keep the area clean for these people until they can come up with a plan or transition them or whatever. It's just unconscionable to me that you can't at least keep the sidewalks clean or the streets clean, knowing that, unfortunately, they don't have bathrooms, so, you know, they go on the street or whatever, which is sad. Mm-hmm. Put porta johns there. Do something to try to make it habitable until there could be a transition of getting out of that unfortunate cycle.
You know, in the rich areas like Venice,
in the rich areas like
Venice, they do have that washdowns. But let me
tell you
the dollar figure that goes. Let me tell you the dollar figure they budgeted. That's $1 million right there that could go toward a good program. Why should we have to deal with the end result of homelessness, the feces, the drug needles, and the public the safety aspect, when we can take that $1 million they're putting into cleaning the streets and all that runoff goes into the wash and it washes up into the beaches, now pollutes all those sunbathers. That's
a
never-ending vicious cycle. We need to break it.
Okay.
Give me that $1 million. Put that $1 million into programs to put them in a good home.
Amen. With the last half of our show, we have about 8 minutes left. I want to move to the national landscape. We have so many issues on the national landscape, from human trafficking, border wall. Now we have the coronavirus pandemic. We have failing public education. We don't have an immigration policy. I can go on and on. What are some of the things that you're looking at as far as policy-wise? I know that you're a supporter of President Trump and his policies as well as I am. But what are some of the things that you want to try to initiate or push through on the national level to help move this country forward?
Excellent question, Chauncey. You know, I look at all the aspects, immigration, healthcare reform and all that, and I have 30 years in healthcare, so I do have a really good idea and great plan for healthcare. But let's focus in on immigration. We are a sanctuary state. Now, it's a great thing for our country. I love immigration. We were built on immigrants, right? But we need to implement But we need to implement a very that strategy of immigration very cautiously. We're a nation of law and order, chaos and crime that we're seeing here in the state of California. I mean, the criminal aliens have more rights than the homeless on the streets in the citizens of the state of California. In fact, they take it to a point where you report, you could actually be arrested and you serve time if you report anything to ICE. So that's the crazy leftist.
Are you serious in California? You can get arrested for notifying law enforcement about an illegal immigrant or illegal alien undocumented?
Well, it really applies to more of the employers if they report and they report. Yeah. Now, if if they happen to catch, because you can do it anonymously and you not get caught in that snare. But, you know, honestly, we need to offer immigration. We do have to do that, and I believe in it. But we have to monitor to bring in the best, the brightest, and the hardworking to grow this great nation of ours. We must protect our citizens first and foremost from all the evildoers who profit by what? Human trafficking, drug running, and criminality. Remember, I was in the Coast Guard. I protected our borders. I was in law enforcement protecting the southern part of our state, southeast portion in Florida, when the drug running was rampant from parts of Cuba, from Colombia, and so on. So I know this. I've seen it firsthand, the carnage that comes out of drug running and human trafficking. So here's an analogy for the importance of the border security and wall. My opponent, he is against sanctuary state. He's against the sanctuary of our country and our state. What he looks at is open borders. He's promoting crime. He's attacking our president every which way. And I think he spends more time on Twitter than he does anything trying to bring solutions to offer to our citizens within California, more importantly, our district. So I really feel strongly about border security because I've lived it. I've seen the carnage. So the immigration form is really important right now. We have to emphasize we want to bring in those that are truly desiring to be here based on merit. But more importantly, we have to also acknowledge those that are escaping and fleeing, repressive countries. We have to have a program for that. But, you know, we have people that have been waiting for citizenship for well over 6 to 10 years. So we have to look at all those aspects. We have to come up with a better program that it gets based on merit, how long you've been waiting, get them taken care of right away, and we have to address all the aspects within immigration, but we have to reform it. And that's been the can they've been kicking down the street for several decades now.
Okay, any other issues you want to tackle? I'm letting you have the floor here for the next couple of minutes. You talked about immigration.
Yeah,
just keep going. I don't want to stop you now.
Well, let's talk about L.A. Here on L.A.'s biggest corona blunders, this is Ted Lieu. I have to point out the fecklessness foolery of Ted Lieu because that's the guy I'm going against. Ted Lieu from our District 33 did nothing at the Los Angeles Marathon for money in March 8th of 2020, despite knowing over 1 month before about the coronavirus. Lieu let 27,000 athletes from 50 states and 78 countries run because of poor political leadership and lack of foresight. This guy is not a leader. He's well out of his league, and he's kept himself in office by, special interest and so on. So I'm addressing those issues and trying to want to debate him, but he refuses to debate anyone that he runs against. Additionally, given the lack of honesty from the CCP China, he was one of the biggest defenders of the Communist Party of China. It's been it's been really difficult for us to get the true answers. And who's the biggest block to that is Ted Lieu. So finally, I feel Congress dragged its feet approving the first stimulus package. And it was with partisan attempts by Pelosi and Ted Lieu to fill the stimulus package with pork, and you're familiar with that term. And as millions of businesses shuttered and employees were laid off, and today we have another spike of business closures in our district. We're looking at 25% of the restaurants closing their doors because of this corona scare. So we need to address that. We need to point blame where the blame is, and the ones that are perpetuating this lie and the scarcity and the fear has been the Pelosi and the Dems, and as well as Ted Lieu in the district. We need to get him out of office, and that's why I'm here to do just that.
Thank you so much for coming on the air. I hope that you will allow me to invite you back on again so we could have a further and broader discussion on some other issues about your candidacy and issues. Before we close out the show, would you please share with my audience, if people want to donate to your campaign, reach out to you, volunteer, follow you on Twitter, can you please share that information with everyone?
Yes. Thank you very much, Chauncey. Yeah, you can find me at Bradley Congress, that's B-R-A-D-L-E-Y, congress.com, bradleycongress.com. We're refining the website, and in there you can look, you can contribute, you can volunteer. I'll take both or one or the other. We need to join this fight. We need to build the army. And boy, this is the best time of ever because we have the best chance of bringing our constitutional values back into our country. And now is the time.
Thank you so much, Jim. Good luck on your run. I'll be reaching out to you again soon to bring you back on so we could finish this in-depth discussion on how we're going to save our nation in the future. Thank you so much for your courage. Thank you so much for your service to our country. And thank you so much for wanting to stand up again and fight for the American people. God bless you and your family.
It's been an honor and a privilege. Thank you, Chauncey.
You're welcome. This is Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We're always right, never left. You can follow us on Twitter at Right Talk Radio. You can also follow us on Facebook at Conservative Talk Radio. You can follow me on Twitter at Right Talk Host, and also on Facebook at Right Talk Radio Host. You can join us every Wednesday at 6 o'clock for a conservative viewpoint of candidates from around the country. We're always right, never left. Next week, we have a young man in the studio who is currently right now, who is an active person in the military. His name is Luke, I think I ought to pronounce his last name, Luke Negron. I apologize, Luke, for how I pronounced your last name. He's running for Congress in the 18th Congressional District in Pennsylvania. He'll be in the studio next Wednesday, a dynamic young man who has a lot to offer to Congress and to the American people. We look forward to hearing from him next week. Before we close out, I want to wish many prayers to those who lost loved ones again to the COVID-19 pandemic. And my heart and prayers go out to all of the frontline workers and first responders that are putting their life and their family on the line every day to allow us to try to live a normal life. Thank you for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you all. Good night now.